Hello everyone, you're on with Alexander Defoe on BBS Radio. The program is Awaken Your Higher Mind, and today we'll be talking about the nature of truth. In many spiritual journeys that people undertake, they usually find themselves on a path of finding what is real and what is true. Because by questioning our reality and questioning our own life and what is real and what isn't real, we begin to find that a lot of our perceptions and beliefs about the world are just in our own minds, not necessarily a part of reality. So by kind of following a spiritual path, often people tend to find that there's a lot more out there than most people would believe. Many people have encountered, as we discussed last week, the astral realms and lucid dreams, conscious dreaming, where they've encountered spirit guides and other spiritual entities, for example. Having an experience like this can really change your perspective about the world, because suddenly we begin to see that not everything is necessarily as concrete and as defined and as known as we'd think it would be. Now, I found that it's really when we're thinking in that left brain mode that we talked about, using words like should or can't or must, I must do this or I have to do that, and these words limit our reality. When we actually begin activating the creative mind and the right brain, we can connect to the greater reality and experience more about ourselves and more about reality in general, that's usually closed off when we're in a very fixed and very defined kind of mode of perception. And when we consider, hypnosis and kind of hypnotic states, people can get very hypnotized and very fixed on reality, and the whole world could kind of be defined by those set beliefs. So I guess when we talk about searching for truth, one thing I've found is that there are, very many spiritual teachers and spiritual groups and philosophies that kind of say that there is a specific truth, a specific absolute reality that we should be aiming to kind of discover or, uncover, so to speak. In my experience, that's not necessarily the case. There's no one right path to follow. While many people might like to spell truth with a capital T and say that this is the absolute truth that they can find, I actually find that truth with a small t is usually a lot more applicable on a personal level, because we're finding our own truth within ourselves rather than chasing an external truth. And the difference here, I suppose, is that instead of trying to get, a spiritual awakening or spiritual attainment from an external source, you would then be searching within yourself for that, spiritual fulfillment. And this is really important, because external search for spirituality can create more beliefs and more ideas about the world that kind of become, stuck in your mind, more filters of perception, so to speak. Whereas an internal search for your own spiritual identity can actually cause you to let go of a lot of preconceptions and beliefs about the world. The truth is that even ideas like meditation and spirituality can create beliefs in your mind. I think that meditation is really awesome and helps with so much health-wise and for spiritual awareness. However, most people, they see meditation in terms of, what they believe meditation to be. I mean, I'm talking about, the average regular person. If you introduce the word meditation to them, there's a good chance they'll have this image of, a guru kind of meditating in India somewhere. And the general person doesn't really realize that anyone can meditate very easily, and just sit down and do it. So that's the bridge between the beliefs we have and the actual reality that we can experience. And I believe that, you know, the real essence of spirituality goes beyond the belief systems that we've established throughout our lives. So it can really be, you know, knowledge we have about the world, things that we actually know are true. And then there are beliefs, you know, we believe that certain things might be this way or other things might be that way. But we have no way of knowing that that's absolutely true. Even something as basic as, you know, watching the TV and certain news events in a different country that you've never been to. You can be pretty certain that, you know, some elements that have been shown on the news are true, that those images, but you're not actually seeing and experiencing that firsthand. Therefore, it's not experiential knowledge that you've got. It's, passed on knowledge. You're receiving sensory information. And this can be a big roadblock to true spirituality, because when a guru or spiritual leader is saying, you know, that there's an absolute path, an absolute truth to be reached, or that enlightenment is this or that, then we begin to have knowledge that is impressed upon us about, you know, what we should be, what kind of person you should be, to be spiritual, for example. To be, you know, enlightened even, which is really, you know, enlightened isn't the best word to use, because it creates this gap between, you know, who you are and this, you know, a really high state of who you should be supposedly. And that state of enlightenment is kind of held as a belief, contrived knowledge rather than experiential knowledge. And in the spiritual journey, I think a lot of it has to do with letting go of some of those words and some of those definitions, defining ourselves in terms of what others, the authorities in certain fields believe, such as enlightenment or a spiritual path or search for truth. It's really about letting go of a lot of those labels and just allowing ourselves to be present, you know, within ourselves, and to notice what that feels like, you know, what our own truth is. To actually be able to distinguish between, you know, belief system and what we actually know in our hearts and minds to be true for us. And, you know, I'll be talking about some ways in this program that you can kind of begin to question some of the beliefs you have about the world, to liberate yourself from those beliefs and to simply experience reality more directly, more experientially. I've recently had a conversation with someone who was saying that being in the present moment can kind of take you away from reality, because when you're reading books that talk about mindfulness, that talk about, you know, consciousness and presence, like The Power of Now, for example, by Eckhart Tolle, these books, they talk about being mindful and self-aware of your thinking, rather than engaging with your thinking and your emotions. I had a conversation with someone who was saying that if you're present in the moment, then, you know, you're not thinking about things, therefore you're bound to kind of not be thinking about your own life in the future and, you know, planning it very well, since you're only focusing on the moment. And I think it's important to realize that when we focus on the moment, we are actually experiencing reality, you know, what's in front of us. We're not actually kind of separating or disconnecting ourselves in a way, even though it may feel like that sometimes when you're, you know, disconnecting yourself from your thinking and not getting engaged with it. Because when you're not thinking about, you know, a certain situation, you know, talking to someone while thinking, shaping all these beliefs in your mind, when you're not doing that, when you're just there, just present and experiencing that in its fullness, you're much less likely to actually impose your filters, your mental filters and beliefs about that situation, and much more likely to experience it for what it actually is. And that's really important, you know, not just in a spiritual search for truth, your own spiritual journey, but in life in general. We all have certain beliefs about how certain situations and how certain people should be in our minds. But whether we have those beliefs or not isn't as important as how we choose to behave and react, whether we choose to apply those filters and then react, or just be mindful and self-aware throughout the day, and try to experientially perceive and experience and just be present in reality. And using this, approach to life, we're much more likely to get to a sense of personal truth, because it no longer becomes about, I'm thinking this or I believe this because it's in my mind, but it becomes a direct experience. You know it's true because you can experience it with all your senses and totally feel it and know that this is true for you. And this is really what the essence of spirituality has been for me. Knowing, with your entire being where you're at and, what's important and what's true for you, rather than, just simply believing. Because a lot of people will have these beliefs. There are actually classes and groups I've attended where the instructors talked about like the astral projection, but in terms of astral planes, like she was talking about for an hour about how there's seven planes in the astral and each one means this and a certain dimension is higher than another and there are certain dimensions higher than our reality and so forth. But I'm not sure that this instructor had actually, ever experienced astral projection. It seemed like she was just talking about what she was taught and what she had read and some common beliefs, perhaps, that anyone could pick up some books and just run a course and, talk about this stuff, for instance, which is why I believe it's really important when we're, trying to help others out by sharing our knowledge, that knowledge is actually based on experience. I've actually experienced that. And even if you might think it's not as special or amazing as something you read in a book, I think it actually is more essential than that, because it's a personal experience. And by sharing that, you can really connect with another person and get insight into what is reality, because reality is not, those beliefs. It's actually the experiential perception of being present rather than just being stuck in the mind, because anyone can be stuck in the mind and, deliver 1 or 2 hour lecture about spirituality or enlightenment and just talk about like the principles of Buddhism, for example. I could have done that for this radio program, but that's really the easy way out. What's really what really takes courage and to allow you to actually connect with others and reality is to convey what your experience is directly and not what your beliefs are, what you might think you know. People are very quick to kind of try to teach something and try to say that they know all of this spiritual knowledge, for example, or ideas about the world. Whereas what they've actually done is just read up on it or being stuck at home and done a lot of research. That's not what it's really about. So what we tend to find with that belief-based mindset, searching for to accumulate more and more and more knowledge rather than experiencing, what we find is that that comes from the logical and rational mind. We're trying to make sense of reality constantly and refine it and improve upon our beliefs, so to speak, kind of building up a conception of the world in our minds. And you can actually choose consciously to let go of that. You can say to yourself, you know, I don't really need to know for sure that what is reality and what isn't reality in my mind. I can just simply experience this moment at present, just this small aspect of my experience, rather than hypothesizing about the world and you know, what people are like in general and certain ideas in the world. Because when people, even when people say, you know, no one in the world is really, you know, spiritually enlightened, or there's few people, or there's you know, this or that about the world, that's quite a huge generalization, and we can't possibly know of all the billions of people in the world every single person's experience. And that has been quite a major realization for me, because I noticed that people do use language like that, the logical mind, trying to make sense of it. You know, most people do this and most people do that, and this is the state of the world. And when you take it out of context, really, you know, those are quite huge generalizations. So what we're trying to do when we step out of the logical and rational mind and into the creative mind is to let go of some of that style of thinking, you know, not trying to make sense, but simply experiencing. And as you experience, what happens is you suddenly let go of that fixation on defining reality and defining truth. And as soon as you let that go, it's kind of like your really sharp focus on that one area kind of begins to expand outwards, and you allow more into your field of perception, your frame of reference. You begin to kind of experience more and gain deeper understandings about the world and life in general. And this is where, you know, the real pursuit of spiritual awareness and inner truth comes about, you know, in my experience. So once again, you know, a lot of it is kind of realizing that we say to ourselves that we must be a certain way, or that, you know, we must see things in a certain light, even though you don't consciously say, you know, I have to see things like this. That's the reason why I'm thinking like this. A lot of the time, that's what your subconscious mind is doing. It's kind of saying that you have to see a reality in a certain light, and your entire life is built around that as a result. When you focus on the creative mind, rather than perceiving, you also begin to use the power of your imagination to, you know, create possibilities. It comes back to that scale of empowerment versus disempowerment that we were speaking about a couple of programs back, where you can either be, you know, at the one end where other people and media and so forth are telling you what is happiness, you know, what you should be doing, what kind of values you should have, and living in accordance with that. Or you can be on the other side of the spectrum and decide for yourself, you know, what is really meaningful for you? What does happiness mean for you? What does success mean for you? And to get rid of those external concepts and only focus on the internal, and then follow them. And that's a really empowering mindset, whereas the former is a disempowering one. And that disempowering one is commonly how people you know, tend to respond in the world, just as a result of that constant you know, huge businesses and media being at the top, and that gap between the individual and, you know, governments, media, big corporations. Whereas that's, you know, quite a disempowering mindset, and we can actually empower ourselves to act, you know, for ourselves and individually. And part of that, you know, is the power of imagination, the creative mind. Because with imagination, we're not saying that others create our perception and we have to be subjected to reality. Instead, we're saying that we can create our reality to some extent. So we switch from perception to creation. And this could get into quite a long, you know, topic of whether you can actually create physical reality or not with your mind. But I've certainly found that certain situations you can create the outcome rather than just sitting back and perceiving them and letting them happen. You can actually partake in that creation. And this is a really empowering type of perspective. Whereas, once again, we're taught from a very young age to be in a disempowered frame of mind where we're perceiving and accepting reality rather than imagining and creating reality, even during primary school and into high school, higher education. You're kind of sitting there for, 6 hours or so a day, listening to teachers tell you what is reality. This is reality. This is how that works, and this is how this works. And of course, we're going to be used to accepting and taking on those perceptions. And when we read something or when someone tells us something, our barriers are already quite low. And we're still using imagination. You can't totally suppress imagination. It's the way you're using it. If someone tries to instill an idea of reality in your mind, your imagination still kind of takes that, but it's dormant, so to speak. So your imagination creates that truth in your mind unconsciously. Whereas when you're using your creative mind and imagination consciously, you're actually saying, this is the reality I would like to create. And you're putting ideas of reality of what you want in your own mind rather than letting other people simply tap into that imagination, creative power and energy, and to use that to frame your reality. So that's coming from within you instead. So that's why I find that learning, how to use our imagination more often as opposed to being stuck in that left brain thinking is really important. And you can really experience a deeper sense of spiritual truth with that creation process, because when you realize that you can be responsible for your reality and to create aspects of your reality, this is, you're no longer searching for a truth, but you're realizing that you are a part of that, and you can kind of create that from your own inner power. So one example of how imagination can be used is, you might have a belief that you have to achieve a certain thing in life, or maybe that even a negative belief such as you'll never be able to achieve, this or that. And we all have, some beliefs on that level that come either from childhood, from teachers, or perhaps one of our friends that said something to us that was really discouraging and it just stuck in our minds, or our parents that maybe once made a comment, you'll just never, be good in that area of life, for example. You're just always running muck in that area, and that can kind of stick in the mind, and we have this belief that it will never be good at, in a career, for example. Certainly individuals who have come from that context of, their parents perhaps haven't reached for the stars and achieved their ideal career. Not in all cases, but sometimes their parents may kind of create the perception that their children won't be able to achieve that either and don't set a very good standard. So someone who has in their own mind this voice that seems logical, kind of constantly verbalizing to them that they shouldn't even bother, they're not good enough, and so forth. That sounds, to the person that's experienced that, that can sound logical, because words are the language of the left brain and logic, whereas imagination is the language of the right brain. So simply by imagining that you don't have those boundaries. You know, imagine if you couldn't fail, and if there was no limitation at all. Allow your imagination to run free and to, you know, consider what is possible. What are all the possibilities if there were no limits at all? And what happens here is you begin to rewrite your reality in your mind. You don't necessarily, you know, try to fight against that self-talk and those words suggesting, you know, what you should or shouldn't be, should or shouldn't strive for, but you're letting go of them for a moment and just saying, you know, I wonder what I can imagine, you know, what would be possible if anything were possible in your mind. And, you know, with your own imagination in your mind, you can practically do anything. So letting your imagination run free with the idea of, you know, achieving your ideal career or, you know, maybe finding a partner that you really love if you haven't already, or some goal that you've kind of been stuck not being able to achieve, you know, especially if you don't believe you can achieve it, you know, on a logical level. Letting go of that for a moment and simply imagining, you know, what if it could be? And when you do this, you unrestrict your mind. You know, it's all the possibilities become open to you, as opposed to simply thinking in that fixed kind of hypnotic linear direction that you're going. And this can be, you know, like an actual type of meditation task that you can do for, you know, even 10, 15 minutes or so. Actually kind of sitting down and practicing breathing, you know, focusing on your breathing whenever kind of thoughts or emotions come up in your mind. Just sit, recentering back to your breath, maybe for a few minutes, and then allowing your eyes to close and just inviting your imagination to, you know, kind of have fun and play around with the possibility of what if anything was possible. And as that happens, kind of deepening, you know, your experience of what you're imagining, making it more real for you and kind of really stepping into that. What would it be like? What would it feel like? You know, who would the people involved be? Try to get like a really sharp picture of what that would be like if you could have, if you could achieve anything, be anything. And the way you know that, you know, you're doing this exercise quite well is when you kind of do get immersed in it and really have fun with creating, you know, this ideal imagined reality and feeling what it would feel like if you weren't restricted by anything in your life at present. And I think, you know, the reason that this technique is so useful is because, you know, when we talk to ourselves and kind of say, put ourselves down about certain parts of our lives, even though that seems really powerful, the creative mind is actually, you know, much, much more powerful than the rational mind. Our conscious awareness and our conscious mind is less than 3% of our entire being. You know, everything else, 97 or more percent, is unconscious. And when we kind of begin meditating and letting our imagination come into the picture, our unconscious mind can begin, you know, kind of activating, creating images in the mind that seem to come out of nowhere, but they're actually a part of you, your deeper level of being. And you're tapping into, you know, your entire mind using that technique. And that's incredibly powerful. Even though this is not kind of like you might have seen that movie The Secret, for example. This is not kind of like manifestation or, you know, saying that you imagine $100,000 and then $100,000 arrives in your bank. That's not what this is at all. Instead, you're simply recognizing that throughout the development of yourself as a human being on this planet, there have been many influences throughout school and throughout parenting and throughout interactions with others that have shaped your reality. And that shaping of reality is never, you know, only positive. There's a lot of limiting and a lot of defining that occurs from that and cutting off the edges. And you begin seeing things and seeing life in a very restricted light. You know, we all do this. We're all in a very fixed level of perception of, you know, this is the world and this is how things work and so forth. Actually, this isn't the world and this isn't how things work, because, you know, no belief about things is a 100% accurate reflection of reality. And, you know, by imagining, by letting your imagination run free, what this does is it actually lets you let go just for a moment of some of those beliefs you've built up, maybe over, you know, decades even, that you're holding on to. And it lets you expand your field of perception for a moment to make more possible. So it's nothing to do really with imagining something and that thing comes true. It's more about changing your own mind and changing how you use your brain, instead of being disempowered and kind of constantly telling yourself on an unconscious level what you should or, you know, shouldn't be doing, you know, what life is. You're kind of imagining, you know, what could be, what are the possibilities here? You know, how can I, you know, see things differently? And, you know, with practice, this certainly does change the way you see the world and interact with the world in everyday life. One thing I've certainly noticed, is, you know, I don't really like using the word ego, but I find in my interactions, people quite quick to jump into their ego of defending, you know, their beliefs into something they saw on like the Discovery Channel, National Geographic, and they'll be quite keen on defending their knowledge about this topic. If you bring it up, if you make a small mistake, they might jump in and say, "No, actually, you know, that's not true what you're saying," and, you know, kind of defending their ideas and knowledge. Whereas what we're talking about is actually, you know, just letting things be and, you know, considering what could be. There doesn't have to be a fixed reality, a fixed mode of, you know, doing things or perceiving things. So while that may give the ego some security, you know, having some security in believing that at least I know that this is true, you know, at least I know that the sun, you know, I can see the sun, therefore I know the sun is real, it exists. At least I know the clouds exist, and that, you know, that might give me some comfort, some stability in knowing that at least something in the world is real. And it is a difficult path, like, you know, following any spiritual journey or genuine journey of self-awareness is really difficult, because it kind of asks you to question aspects of your reality. You know, is that really, you know, is that reality, is that real? And to examine that. And certainly, you know, practicing even a technique like imagination, a lot of people may not have even stopped in their lives and done that. Some people just kind of flow through life through their beliefs and constantly, you know, in family life and in the career and so forth, beliefs like being synonymous with, you know, having to work really hard to be successful or be worthwhile. When you equate, you know, stuff like certain behaviors with a feeling of being worthwhile or being a good person, you know, another one is, you know, I have to go to church every Sunday to be a good person. And these are, you know, beliefs, they come from, you know, usually they come from the mind and not from experience. You know, not on all occasion. You know, sometimes your beliefs can be a bit closer to experience, but a lot of the time it will just be, you know, your parents might say, you have to, you know, you have to go to church every weekend, for example. And that can get stuck in your mind. So what the purpose of all of this is, you know, imagination and experiential knowledge, is actually being able to question some of those beliefs. So what you're doing is consciously, you know, you're refusing to be controlled by those beliefs and letting your reality be shaped by them. Instead, you're saying, I'm going to, you know, be responsible for creating, you know, what I want out of life. And, you know, doing techniques like imagination and meditation to allow yourself to let go of labels and beliefs. And, you know, as I said, you know, a lot of that comes from, a lot of those left brain thinking patterns come from generalizations about the world and about people. And it seems that by realizing that a lot of our thinking isn't necessarily useful for us, we can then make the conscious choice to, you know, let go of thoughts that aren't useful. And then other elements of the mind become free, like imagination and like consciousness. There's so many parts of ourselves and our beings that we don't experience because almost all of our energy is placed into the mind. There's this constant, you know, focus on the mind in modern society. Once we even begin to calm the mind down a little bit, begin to notice that we can perceive elements of reality directly without necessarily being defensive about them or forming a conception or an ego kind of about defending reality, our reality. And you can find, you know, you're able to see things clearer and actually tap into your imagination, actually feel things more deeply when you're not just focusing on thinking all the time, constantly having an opinion and a reaction. You can consciously choose to let go of that. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. So I guess, you know, a part of questioning, you know, whether our beliefs and our impressions about the world are real or not, it comes down to that use of language, hypnotic type language that fixes us into a certain state of reality. Such as we mentioned a couple of weeks back, you know, I should be doing this or I must be doing that. Some other ones I'd like to talk about now are terms like, you know, never or always or everyone. When you use that as justification for your reality, everyone does that, therefore I'm going to do this. Or, you know, I could never do that. Or, you know, you must always, you know, do this to be, you know, to be good or to be, or otherwise it would be really bad if you, you know, skip that one time, for example. And these shape reality in a very fixed light, terms that are absolute, you know, like never or like always. What I actually find it can be helpful to look out for these words in your language, like, you know, even what you're thinking to yourself or what you're saying to other people. When you use the word always, when you use the word never, or everyone, or no one, in a sentence, you may find yourself, you know, just kind of stopping and thinking for a moment, you know, is that really true, what I'm saying, you know, to this person or to myself? Is it really never that, is this really, you know, impossible? Because it can be really subtle, but if you're saying never quite often in, you know, elements of reality, you're actually just rejecting that. And, you know, as we spoke about, when you block off a certain possibility, your mind will actually create a reality where that possibility is not present. For example, you know, someone saying, I'll never own, you know, a Ferrari. It just kind of completely gets cut off from their mind. Or, you know, I'll never be loved, or I'll never be happy. And this can really limit, you know, your reality, and, that type of thinking. And even statements like always, they may seem positive, but it's just the nature of the reality that we experience within ourselves. I've found that statements like never and always, they're not really applicable, because reality is free-flowing and our inner beings are free-flowing. And by recognizing that they are, you know, flowing in that way, we can actually get a lot more out of life, because, you know, that's who we are. We're not fixed, you know, we're not always this or always that, or, you know, never one thing or another. It's, we're constantly moving through life, and nothing is fixed, nothing is absolute. A lot of people that search for absolutes and fixed realities, such as saying, you know, I found the absolute truth, I found enlightenment, they're quite insecure, because they believe they need to find that absolute, that experience that's fundamental to life, that's, you know, the ultimate truth. They need to find that to feel secure. But the truth is that you can feel a lot more connected with yourself, and, you know, a lot more secure even, by recognizing that nothing is fixed, and that you consciously create your reality on a day-by-day basis. So recognizing that we use some of these words in our language leads us to recognize that our beliefs about the world are not congruent with truth. So your beliefs might reference truth, like you might believe that the sun is going to rise tomorrow, but you've based that on experiential knowledge, whereas a lot of your other beliefs may not even be based even remotely on truth, but yet you're still holding on to them and creating your reality with them. These beliefs, you know, even can come from a cultural background, or the way things are done in a certain society, certain workplace, or certain traditions. And they just form in our minds. So some more questions that you can kind of ask yourself to challenge some of those beliefs, or wherever you think there might be a belief or a filter that you're seeing reality through, you can actually ask, you know, if you're saying, you know, this is always the case and never the case, ask yourself, you know, can I find an exception where, you know, this has happened or this hasn't happened? And as your mind begins looking for an exception, you begin to notice that reality is not as fixed and as absolute as you may have thought. When you're using terms like everyone does this, everyone does this, that, then you can, you know, ask a question like, you know, is there someone in the world? Is there bound to be someone that doesn't do things that way? And how can you know for sure whether that is or isn't the case? If you don't know for sure, then is it worthwhile to be holding on to that belief anyway, or could you just let it go altogether? Another question you can ask is this thought or is this belief that I'm having, is it benefiting me in any way at all? You know, if it's not actually giving you any benefit by thinking about the world, thinking about yourself in a certain way, and if it's just creating a negative experience for you, then, you know, could you simply just let go of that belief in that moment? If you can't, you could ask, you know, what am I getting on an emotional level from holding on to that, you know, that type of thinking? You know, what am I getting on an emotional level from saying that to myself or saying that to others? You know, why do I feel a need to kind of impose this worldview or hold on to this worldview? And another question that's really important is being able to ask, you know, how does a certain thought or how does this belief that I'm having, how does it define my self-image? And self-image is how you see yourself and how you believe others see you. And what does it say about you that you're holding on to a certain, you know, belief about reality? And as you begin this process, you usually find that a lot of beliefs, they do have emotions hiding behind them, even, you know, searching for a sense of security about the world, a sense of security about, you know, what is spirituality, what does it mean to be awakened or in tune with ourselves, what does it mean to be successful or happy or you know, be good at something or be worthwhile. And there'll always be, like in many cases, an emotion behind some of those things. And we begin to find that with some of those emotions, we can, you know, we can either externalize them or internalize them. So what happens when we externalize what we're feeling in our emotions is that we do tend to impose, you know, our worldview or our beliefs about the world on other people. And I found this really interesting how when you perhaps attend groups on meditation or spirituality, many teachers find it necessary to inform the group members about the truth, to inform them, you know, this is our reality and, you know, this is what meditation is. And I'm very confident that, you know, by practicing their particular technique, you will find enlightenment or, you know, happiness or whatever. This is just one example of externalizing. Another example could be if you're saying that, you know, it's really hard, for example, to be happy, to find, to be happy in a relationship, for example. A person who's saying that may externalize that by, you know, informing others about that perceived fact in their mind. When one of their friends, they might say that, you know, they met someone new, they may say to that person, well, you know, relationships never work anyway, for instance. Because externalization is a form of projecting our internal world onto others. And when we're projecting our internal world onto others, we're not experiencing reality. So that's kind of a giveaway that there could be some beliefs you're still holding on to. When you're projecting, when you're externalizing, you know, your feelings about the world. And there's always the option to let go of, you know, those beliefs, of those feelings about the world if they're detrimental to us. By asking those questions, you know, if you believe that, you know, happiness is something that's really difficult to find, you know, try to kind of test out that belief and ask yourself, if you're using the word always, for example, it's always difficult to find, then try to look for exceptions in the world and kind of break that belief down piece by piece and find the emotion behind it. And notice if you're externalizing that emotion with others or if you're internalizing it and making, like, kind of putting yourself down about it. And, you know, we can always choose what we want to internalize or externalize or let go of those beliefs and those, you know, emotions that we experience about the world, in contrast to, you know, directly and experientially experiencing the world. So once you've kind of got an idea of whether you're internalizing or externalizing this negative belief and the emotions that come with it, you can simply, you know, put the question out there, you know, can I let go of this just for now? You know, what would happen if I just let go of this idea and imagine, you know, what would be possible? You know, what could be possible if that wasn't there just for now, if there weren't any, you know, restrictions or limits? You know, if I could do anything and if I could be anything, what would that be? And then once again, you invite your creative mind into the process where you're no longer defining and limiting reality, but instead, you know, inviting your creative mind and your unconscious mind to help you create the reality that you'd like to experience. But before I bring this program to a close, in future programs, I may also offer, you know, the possibility for callers to call into the program with, you know, their experience of, you know, the spiritual path. You know, you might have had like a certain experience in the past with attending a group on spirituality or encountering, you know, a guru or certain books that about spirituality that have caused you to become conflicted in a way about what is truth, how do we go about searching for truth. The reason, you know, I've decided to kind of incorporate this in the radio program is to give listeners an opportunity to, you know, call in and talk about some of those things, because I've certainly found that a lot of, you know, groups about meditation and spirituality can, you know, still be stuck in that disempowering mind state. There's the guru at the front of the class kind of informing and framing their view of reality in the minds of the students. Whereas I believe this is, you know, a really disempowering way of doing things. And I think it's really interesting to hear people's experiences and to hear your experiences about what your spiritual journey has been like, and some of the experiences you've had and some of the encounters you've had, and how we go about, you know, stepping outside of belief and contrived knowledge and into direct experience. And you know, we may do this during the second part of the radio show next week, possibly, or the following week, where if you feel inclined, you know, you may like to call in, and we can have a look at some of the areas around, you know, the true nature of spirituality and the true nature of, you know, the search of meaning and purpose, and how a lot of society can, you know, take us away from that. Even, you know, even meditation groups, even meditation teachers or spiritual teachers, so to speak, not always, you know, they don't always actually teach how to find that meaning within yourself, which is the really important aspect of any and every spiritual journey, you know, looking within, as opposed to trying to find meaning externally. Right, so I'd like to thank you for listening, and I hope you got something, some use or something positive out of this radio program. And feel free to email me, radio@alexdefoe.com. If you have any feedback or any comments about today's show. And I look forward to you tuning in next time and hopefully possibly calling in and can talk more about the nature of spirituality and truth. Thanks for listening.